It's a blessing to be with you. A couple months ago, and Dan asked me if I could come in January because they were having a new baby, and the baby's here. So praise the Lord for that. And everyone's healthy, I think. So praise God for that. And a real blessing to the new year, I'm sure, for them as a family. And great to be back with you, excited and fired up to share God's word with you today. If you would, in your bulletin, you'll find an outline. If you'll pull that out and follow along as I share God's word with you this morning. And then if you would, take your Bibles and turn to the best-known psalm or the best-known scripture passage probably in all of God's word, Psalms 23. And today I want to share with you a series from Psalms 23 that I've entitled Abundant Life. You go to Webster's Dictionary, and Webster defines abundance as extremely plentiful, over-sufficient, overflowing, more than enough. Have you ever had one of those times in your life when you've had more than enough? Christmas and New Year's can be that kind of a time, right? More than enough, overflowing, an abundance of blessings. And if you're like me, you know, it's almost Christmas Day and you've been dreaming about the Christmas meal for weeks now and making all the plans and preparations for it. And you go to bed dreaming about that meal and you dream about turkey drumsticks. They dance in your head. And you dream about that sweet ham and the homemade rolls and the mashed potatoes and gravy and the cranberries and the pecan pie and the pumpkin pie, an abundance, more than enough food. And the day finally arrives and the smell of ham and turkey fill the air and you can't get away from the smell. I mean, it is overwhelming and you can hardly wait for the meal to begin. And finally, everything is ready and the families arrive. You sit down at the dinner table, you pray and thank God for the meal, and you fill your plate with not just a little bit, but you fill your plate, if you're like me, with an abundance of everything, more than enough. And I usually finish that plate off, and I'm sure most men are like me. You go back for seconds. Even if you don't need seconds, you go back for seconds because you want to taste that good food one more time. It is so good. So you go back for seconds, and usually what I do is I finish my second plate, and then the tryptophan kind of kicks in, you know, and I start getting tired, and I kick back in my lazy boy. I take a little afternoon nap. After I wake up from my nap, I have not one dessert, but I have either two or three more desserts that I probably don't need. And the family gathers around, and we play some table games to kind of work off some of those dinner calories. And that evening, I take one of those homemade rolls, and I cut it in half and put a little Miracle Whip. Yes, I love Miracle Whip. A little Miracle Whip and some ham, and I have myself some ham buns. An abundance, more than enough. Abundance, we love abundance, don't we? And today I want to talk to you about abundance and the abundant life that God wants you to experience through faith in Christ. Now, I'm not talking about abundance in the way some people. I'm not talking about wealth. I'm not talking about health or possessions. But I'm talking about the abundant Christian life God wants you to experience in all of its fullness. And I believe the abundant Christian life, when lived, when really lived, I mean really lived to the fullest the way God wants you to. And I don't mean a life about knowing about Christ and not having a personal relationship to Him. I'm not talking about being a carnal Christian, saved but not living out your faith. Or a lukewarm Christian, when one day you're on the fence and you're living for the Lord, you know, one day and the next day you're not. No, I'm talking about the abundant kingdom of God invading the kingdom of now in your life. I'm talking about the abundant, victorious, overcoming Christian life that is far superior to anything else you could experience in this life as a human being. This is the life God wants you to live that overshadows any other life lived. Do you want an abundant life? Do you want an abundant life here and now? Do you want to experience that in its fullness? then buckle up and get ready for the next 4 weeks, because we're going to look at the deep truths of Psalms 23, and we're going to learn to experience the abundant Christian life God wants us to experience. 3,000 years ago, a shepherd boy by the name of David wrote this well-known psalm. This passage of Scripture is probably one of the best-known passages in all of God's Word. There are many believers and those that don't even know Christ, aren't even believers, have never darkened the door of a church that know this Scripture passage. Many have heard it maybe at a funeral or maybe in a movie, and it has brought more comfort and peace than probably any other Scripture passage in all of God's Word. A lot of people have memorized this psalm. In a show of hands, how many of you have memorized Psalms 23? I'm not going to ask you to quote it. Wow, look at all the hands. Amazing. And so David seeks to answer the question is, what am I doing here? What is my purpose in life? What are the benefits of really knowing God? And I've heard Psalms 23 compared to a man that was on a long journey. And he was walking through the streets of a city on a very cold and windy winter night. And he pulled his jacket up over his neck and over his head to keep himself from the cold. And as he was on his journey, suddenly a door opened on the sidewalk. And out of that door came light and warmth and the sound of children laughing and music and the aroma of a meal being prepared. And as quickly as the door opened and all that spilled out into the darkness, all of a sudden, boom, the door was closed again. And the man went on his way, but he was greatly affected by what he had seen and heard in that moment. That's what Psalms 23 is like. And I believe David, the great psalmist and king of Israel, wrote this towards the end of his life as he reflected back over his life. And for a moment, he opens the door of his soul, and flowing out from that comes this rich experience of a man that Scripture says was like no other. He was called a man after God's own heart. And he summarizes his relationship to God in a few statements, and today we're going to look at the first statement, or actually a few of those statements found in verse 1. And so if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and look at it, and we're going to go ahead and read Psalms 23. And David writes Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And so if you notice verse 1, he summarizes what we're going to look at today. "The Lord is my shepherd," David writes, "I shall not want." And so David talks about his relationship with God and who God is, what God means to him. And so this is the first statement. If you're taking notes today, David writes, "God is my Lord. God is my Lord." And David starts this psalm by saying, "The Lord, God is my Lord." The name Lord is used over 6,800 times throughout the Bible in reference to who God is. The Hebrew word for Lord is Yahweh. And Yahweh defines God as creator and sustainer of life and all that exists. It refers to God as one who is alive and active and involved in all that's going on. He didn't just create everything, kind of sit back with his arms crossed, and is now just watching us try to struggle through life to somehow try to survive this difficult life that we live. No, he is involved in all that's going on with his creation. This name also refers to God as Theos, meaning one God. You know, a lot of people think there are many ways, and there are many ways to get to God and heaven and eternal life. And this name sets the record straight once and for all. This sets God apart as unique from any other name. There is only one God. His name is Yahweh, And he wants to be known by that name. And when God appeared to Moses in Exodus chapter 3 to reveal who he was, and he called Moses to go be the deliverer of his people, the Israelites, Moses said, "Whom shall I say is sending me?" And God said, "I am who I am. Tell them I am is sending you. I am the Lord God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am Lord God. I am the only God. I am the creator God. I am the sustainer of life. I have always been, will always be. I am the Lord God." That's what he tells Moses. You see how personal this is? God came to Moses to establish a relationship with him. And he was going to deliver the Israelites. And he wanted a personal relationship with the Israelites as well. Now, this name, Lord, refers to the absolute faithfulness of God. He promised he would be their God. He would be with them. He would lead them and bless them and provide for them. And we see him doing that throughout the Old Testament. And you know what? God wants a personal relationship with you as well. He wants you to call his name. He wants you to call upon him as Lord. And his promise to you is that he will be your God. And he will be with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will lead you. He will bless you. He will provide for you all the days of your life. Now, throughout the scriptures, we see God referred to as Lord. In the book of Revelation, chapter 4, and verse 8, it says, "And the living creatures worshiped him, saying, Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." In Exodus chapter 34, when God came to Moses and was giving him the Ten Commandments, it says God came down and he stood there with Moses and he proclaimed his name, the Lord. Psalms 24, verse 1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." Lord refers to God as creator of all things and ruler over all things. He owns it all. There is nothing that God doesn't own. He owns the universe, he owns the sun, he owns the earth, he owns every living thing, every plant, every animal, every bug, every fish in the sea, every person, all the money, all the companies, all the world governments, the seat you're sitting on right now, the air that you're breathing right now, and he owns you. And he even owns the hairs on your head or lack thereof. Now, the New Testament Greek word for Lord is kurios, and it means Lord and Master. And Jesus is referred to as Lord, meaning he is Lord, meaning he is God. Jesus is God. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 3, when John the Baptist came preaching a gospel of repentance, it was a fulfillment of the word, the prophet Isaiah, who said, "A voice calling in the desert to prepare the way of the Lord." Jesus is Lord. In John chapter 20, when the disciples said they saw Jesus, Thomas said, "Unless I touch the scars in his hands and his side, I won't believe." And all of a sudden, Jesus appears before him. He touches his scars. He humbly bows before him, and he worships, and he bows before Jesus. He said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus, as Lord, is central to our salvation as believers in Christ. In Acts chapter 2, verse 20, when Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, he said this, "And everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." In Acts chapter 16 and verse 31, it says, "Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." Romans 10, verse 9, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you will be saved." The world says there are many gods and many ways to God. Paul sets the record straight in 1 Corinthians 8, 4. He says, "There is no God but one. There is only one God, and his name is Jesus, and he's Lord over all." Now back to Psalms 23. Notice how personal this is for David. David's not talking about some unknown God out there somewhere in this vast universe. No, he refers to God in a personal way where he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And so when David says, "The Lord is my shepherd," he's describing a God who wants to be known by his name. He wants to be known personally. Let me ask you today, do you know God personally today? Can you say that today? Is Jesus your Lord? This is abundant life and knowing God personally. It's the greatest life you could ever know. There is no greater relationship. There is no greater thing in all of this life than to know God personally and be able to call him your Lord. There was a guy recently on the social media platform, X, formerly Twitter, and he put out a tweet recently about 10 ways to happiness, you know, and he asked people if they wanted to add their own, and he had things like health and money and a good relationship and a number of things, but 10 different ones. And I noticed after his tweet, no one responded and said anything about God. And so I responded to him back to his tweet and I said, Steve, you forgot the most important one, God. Without God, all these other things don't mean anything at all. They really don't matter at all. Now, the sacred term of Lord speaks of a holy and righteous God that is so beyond us. Now, think about how big and how powerful God is, yet he wants you to know him personally. Now, don't lose sight of who really God is. Think of the size of this vast universe that Christ spoke into existence. And I recently heard there are 300 million times 300 million stars in the universe, with new ones being found each and every day. And the closest star to Earth is Alpha Centauri. And it is so far from the Earth, so far that if you went there and you got the most powerful telescope in the world, you couldn't see the Earth from there because the Earth is so small. And so here we are on this planet that's a speck of dust in this vast universe. And if this planet is a speck of dust, I don't know who we are, but we're real small compared to it. Now think about this. The Lord who spoke it all into existence, who created it all, he loves you, and he wants you to know him personally as Lord. That's just amazing. Is Jesus your Lord today? Can you say that with great confidence today? David starts the psalm by saying, God, you're my Lord. And secondly, he says this. He says, God, you're not only my Lord, but you're my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, David writes. This is a personal relationship that David had with God. Now, one of the most common ways God refers to his relationship to us is as our shepherd. He is our shepherd. Over 200 times in the Bible is this picture that God's word paints of shepherds, and often referred to as a relationship between God and his people. And we need a shepherd, don't we? We desperately need a shepherd, and we need a shepherd because God calls us sheep. And sheep aren't the most intelligent creatures on the earth, are they? I mean, sheep are lost, and they don't know where to go, and they're frightened really easily, and they need someone to lead them and guide them and help them through their lives. And we need that, and God knew that, and that's why he paints this picture of him being the shepherd and us being the sheep that desperately need to know him and to call him our Lord and our master and our shepherd. Now, how are we like sheep? Let's just look at that for a moment, or talk about that for a moment. If you're taking notes, here's the first way that we're like sheep, is we're prone to follow. We're prone to follow other people. We're born with a herd instinct. Where others go, we want to go. What others do, we want to do. We want to have the things other people have and do what other people are doing. And you know, women really have the herd instinct down better than men. You ever sat in a restaurant and you see a group of girls going to the restroom together? I've never sat in a restaurant and seen a group of guys, a herd of guys going to the bathroom together. You'll never see it. But the women, they got it together. They know how to herd. They have the herd mentality down, right? That can be a good thing, but it can also be a bad thing at time, right? And so we have this herd mentality. Sure wished I could be like her. Sure wished I had what he has. Sure wished I could do what he's doing. It's the attitude of keeping up with the Joneses, right? We're so prone to follow. We want to do what others are doing. Secondly, like sheep, we're prone to wandering. You drive by a farm, and most animals on the farm, they don't need much supervision. You can just see it with your own eyes, right? Cows, they kind of gather together. Sometimes you'll even see a cow that's kind of jogging, and the other cows are jogging behind them, you know. It's kind of a funny picture. I've seen that before. Maybe you have as well. But you drive by a field of sheep, and they're all over the place, right? They're just all over the place, all over the field. There is no leader. The sheep are wandering all over the place. And if one does lead, he doesn't know how to lead. He doesn't know where to go. And a sheep will walk, and other sheep will follow that sheep right off a cliff, and they'll all die to their deaths. They'll all fall to their deaths. And so sheep need a shepherd. They wander, they fall, they go off on their own, they can hurt themselves, and so we're prone to wandering, and God knows that. And thirdly, like sheep, we're stubborn. We're stubborn people, aren't we? We want it our way. We want to do what we want to do when we want to do it. We don't want to answer to anyone else. We want to be the master of our own lives and our own kingdom, and we're stubborn people, and God knows that. And that's why he tells us over and over again what we need to do, right? Because we need to hear it over and over and over again, because we sometimes don't catch it the first or second or third or fifth or tenth time. We need to hear it over and over and over again. People hear the word of God taught over and over again, but they're too stubborn to do what God wants them to do. Now, if you know God today, you have a personal relationship with God who he wants to lead and guide your life along the best pathway for your life. And so don't be so stubborn. Follow him and live for him and do what he says. And this is the place of blessing, and this is the place of abundance. Now, Jesus reveals himself over and over again in Scripture as a shepherd. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11, it says, he tends the flock, he gathers the sheep in his arms, and then listen to this, he puts them around his neck and he carries them. So kind and loving and caring God is to us. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 34, it says, Jesus had compassion on the people because they were like sheep without a shepherd. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. I lead them. I call them my name. They follow me because they know my voice. In Revelation 7 and verse 17, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And so we're like sheep, but how is Jesus like a shepherd to us? Well, let me share with you three thoughts. First of all, he leads us, just like a shepherd leads a flock of sheep. He leads us. He's out in front of us. And we might not know where we're going. We don't know what's around the next bend or the next turn, but you know what? God does. He's already seen it. It's already gone through his hands. He's in control of it all. You can trust him as he's out in front of you leading. And if you don't know where God is right now, look out in front of you, because he's leading and guiding and directing your life. Secondly, he's like a shepherd where he protects us. A shepherd protects their sheep from thieves and from inclement weather and from enemies that come to try to steal them from the flock. And so God, he protects us. He watches over our lives. There are so many times in our life when God has protected our lives and we weren't even aware of it. God puts a shield of protection around us as believers in Christ. He even has assigned guardian angels for each of us as children to watch over us and guard us and keep us safe from harm and danger, and so much love that he has for us, and his watchful eye is on us. And so he protects us. And thirdly, he's like a shepherd where he provides for us. Just like a shepherd provides for the sheep, he gives us those things we need to sustain our lives. He gives us food and clothing and shelter, and we're going to talk more about these in future weeks as we look at the rest of this psalm. But David says, the Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that from your heart today? Have you made the decision to receive Christ? Do you believe that Jesus is God's son who died for your sins? Is he or is he not your shepherd today? And you say, I think I know him, but I'm not sure. You don't have to think whether or not you know Jesus is your shepherd. You can know that for sure today. God tells us, he's given us his word so we can be sure of that relationship with him. There are two tests that you can take, and here they are if you just want to jot these down. Jesus says in John 10:27, my sheep know my voice, and what? They follow me. The first question I have for you is this, or the first test you need to take is, do you hear his voice? Do you hear the voice of God? Is there something in your heart right now where God is saying this and God is speaking to me and it's personal and this matters? And if you're not hearing the voice of God, then maybe you don't know God. And those who know God, they hear the voice of God. God speaks to them through the word. And when you read the word, your spirit is quickened and God speaks to your heart. And you understand the things of God that you never understood before you came to faith in Christ. And God's spirit is speaking to your spirit. Do you hear the voice of God? Secondly, here's the second test, is do you follow him? Are you following the shepherd? Are you doing what he says? Are you obeying him? And you'll say, I stumble at times, I blow it, I fail. Well, you know what we all do, because we still have a sin nature, right? We're not going to have a new glorified body until we're on the other side. But right now, we need to obey God. And when we fall, we need to get back up, get our eyes back on the shepherd, and ask for his help with those sins that we struggle with time and time again. David says, God is my Lord, God is my shepherd. And thirdly, this morning, he says this, God, you're my all in all. God, you're my all in all. He says this, the Lord is my shepherd. The second part of that verse is, I shall not want. If the Lord is your shepherd today, if he is your life, then you have everything you need. He is all you need. God is all you need. I want you to know that today. And our problem is, we are God worshipers. We want to worship God. The only problem is our eyes wander and our hearts wander, and we think other gods will satisfy the deep longing in our hearts. No, it won't. Don't believe that lie. If I only had this, then I'd be happy. If I only was in that situation that they're in, I'd be satisfied in life. If only I had more money, then I'd be fulfilled. No, you won't. You will never be truly happy and satisfied at the core of your soul chasing after other gods. I had to learn this I learned this principle early, kind of early in my Christian faith. I came to know the Lord as a young teenager, but in my early 30s, I was already in ministry a number of years, and I was single. And all my other friends, they were married and they had children. And here I am in my early 30s in ministry, single. And I was convinced God somehow had lost my file. Now, what's the deal, God? I'm praying and believe it's best for me to have a helpmate in ministry and all that. And I was wondering what's going on, you know, and God hadn't answered that prayer. And it really was consuming my life. I wanted to meet a girl and get married. And it really became a god in my life. And I remember one of my mentors in ministry coming alongside of me, and he says, Brian, I noticed your life. You're so consumed about wanting to meet the right girl and wanting to get married, and it's become a god for you. He says, forget about that. Put that aside right now. He said, you focus on your love relationship with God. Let him satisfy you at the core of your spirit and soul, and you find your deepest satisfaction and fulfillment in your relationship with him. And so I remember casting down that god and said, God, if you want me to remain single the rest of my life, I will. But I want to fall deeply in love with you. I want you to satisfy the deep longings in my soul. And you know what? Something crazy happened. God did that. And I came to fall in love with God in a way that I never had in my Christian walk. And God was fulfilling the deep needs of my life. And I felt his presence, and it was just a great feeling. And a short time after that, God brought a beautiful Christian girl in my life by the name of Michelle. And this next month, we'll celebrate 30 years. And I'm thankful for that blessing. But I learned that nothing will satisfy me, absolutely nothing in life, like God will. If God is your shepherd, I want you to know this morning, he's enough. God's enough. If you have God, you have everything you need in life. You don't need a bigger house, a better job, another relationship. You don't. You only need God, and you only really need to get more of him. God satisfies the deep longings in our soul. And David came to the place where he understood, because the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I want. I don't want this thing or that relationship to make me more fulfilled or happier. If I have God, and because I have God, I have more than enough. And if you truly know God as your Lord and Savior and shepherd today, then you have more than enough. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Philippians 4:19, it says, and God will meet all your needs according to his riches in Jesus Christ. And God loves you. and your life is in his hands, and he's walking with you, and he's providing for you, and he's so concerned about where your life is right now and what's going on and what your needs are and all that's happening. The Lord is my shepherd, and I don't want another one. I don't want another master. I don't want another leader. I shall not want. Now think about all the pain and suffering in life that is caused because of wanting. I want this and I want that and I want to go there and I want to do that and I want to experience that, and pain and suffering in life of wanting things, never being truly satisfied where I am right now, where God has me today. And God wants us to learn to be content with what he's given us today. He was faithful with a little, but faithful with much is a principle from God's word. And so be faithful and thankful with what God has given you. And don't be so concerned or worried about the things you don't have. But thank God for the blessings of the things that you do have. We ought to do that every day. Man, that'll transform your life. If you've got a time where you're spending with the Lord and you're just praising him and thanking him for the many blessings that he's given you each and every day. So much pain and aggravation comes into our lives because of wanting. Let me just give you a personal illustration of that. Maybe you can relate to this example. Vacation. For months, I start planning a vacation for me and my wife, for me and my family, and all the preparing that goes into it, and looking at places that we're going to stay, and looking at places we're going to eat, and saving money so that we can go on this great trip, and buying all the things, and packing, and getting ready, and shoving off for the great vacation that I've been planning for months now, you know, and all this planning and everything, and I'm on vacation finally, and you know what? I start really enjoying myself. I relax and I'm stress-free and I'm really enjoying myself. And wow, this is a great vacation. And all of a sudden, somewhere in the middle of that week that I'm gone, I start thinking about home. And I start thinking about all the things I'm going to have to do when I get home. And I start thinking about sleeping in my own bed, and maybe I'm going to have a better night of sleep in my own bed. And I even start thinking about having some good, healthy, home-cooked meals at home because I've been eating out every meal. Not happy and satisfied that I'm on vacation, but wanting to be home. Is that crazy? But that's where we spend so much of our times and lives, don't we? So much pain and aggravation in life because of wanting. Never coming to the place and being satisfied where we are. You know, God doesn't want us to live our life like that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God wants each of us to come to the place in our lives when we understand God is enough, and because God is my shepherd, I have enough. Wouldn't it be better if you had this? No. No, it wouldn't. Wouldn't things be better if you had that thing? No. I have the Lord, and because I have the Lord, I have everything that I need. And the things in this life that we want so much can never really truly satisfy us like God can. We want food, and what do? We eat too much, and we feel lousy because of it. We drink, and we drink too much, and we feel lousy because of it, but not God. Not God. You can get more of him, and more of him, and more of him each day, and you know what? You can never get too much of God. Isn't that amazing? And so today, if you need more of something, get more of him. Get more of God. That's where God wants each of us as his children to live our Christian lives each and every day. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. He is all I need, and if I need some more of something, you know what? I'm going to get more of him. I'm going back for seconds and thirds and fourths. I'm going to fill myself up with him. It'd be a great way to start the new year, wouldn't it? To live like that each and every day. What a great commitment we could make at this beginning of 20 and 25 to live like the Lord is my shepherd. He's all that I want. He's all that I need. And that's what my soul really needs. My soul, all of us here this morning, we need more of him. And I've got to get that down into my heart and my soul and live there each day. More of him, less of things. More of God, less of things. And how freeing is that to come to the place in our lives when God is enough? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God is my Lord, God is my shepherd, God is my all in all. Let's thank him for that this morning, if you could. Bow your heads as we close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this well-known psalm that you have shared with us this morning through the power of your Spirit, Lord. Thank you for being the teacher in this place today, Lord. God, I pray if there's a person here that can't honestly, that's listening here in this audience, that's listening online, that can't say with great confidence that you are their Lord, you're their Savior, you're their shepherd. God, I pray today that they would recognize their need of you, God, to have a personal relationship with the God of this universe. And you've made that possible through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the love that you've shown us in sending your Son. Thank you that he went to the cross. Thank you that he died for our sins. And thank you if we'll place our faith and trust in him and call him our Lord, that we'll be saved, we'll be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye. And God, I pray if there's a person where your Holy Spirit is speaking to their hearts and you're drawing to them to yourself, Lord, I pray they would turn from their sin and confess their sins and they would receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And God, I pray for those that are one of your sheep here today, Lord. They're part of your family, and I know most people here this morning are, Lord. I pray that you would be with them here in 2025. God, you know the concerns of their heart. You know times of suffering that maybe they're even going through right now, Lord. God, you know where their heart is, whether or not their heart is one with you and they're living for you and those things that satisfy, can only satisfy them through a relationship with you. I pray that, Lord, those that aren't in that place, Lord, that they'll turn from any sins, Lord, any things in their lives, any gods that they've created that has become more important than their relationship with you. I pray that they would cast those down this morning and you would once again not only be our Savior, but our Lord and our Master. God, help us to walk and fellowship with you every day. Help us to find our satisfaction, our fulfillment, not in things, but in our relationship with you. God, help us to live in that place each and every day this year, Lord. It's a place that you want us to live, and we can't always do that, but I pray you'd help us to be obedient and to get to that place, Lord, where you're enough and you satisfy the deep longings of our soul and spirit. God, thank you for this time today. And God, bless us now as we leave. And God, help us to do those things that are glorifying to you, Lord, and the things you want us to do and the ways you would want us to respond to your word this morning. I give you thanks for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.